From Psalm 42. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully? Because the enemy oppresses me. As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that it speaks to our hearts and how you speak to us through your word. We, your people, are listening. We pray that you would speak to us through this psalm this morning. Amen. Have you ever felt like you were doing everything right, but God just felt far away? Like you were singing the songs, you were praying the prayers, you were doing all the things, and yet it just sort of felt like God was far, God was distant. If you have felt that way before, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 really are for you. Because these two chapters, even though they're split in our Bibles, it's really one prayer. One continuous song of lament. We hear this repeated refrain in these two chapters of Scripture. If you continue into Psalm 43, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And that phrase, I will yet praise him, that's like the heartbeat of the message this morning. So we're kind of going to just walk through briefly the three movements of this psalm. The first one has to do with honesty in talking with God. The second movement has to do with remembering God's faithfulness, so being honest and then remembering, and then lastly, really preaching to your own soul. So let's look at honesty first. The psalm begins really with this invitation to speak honestly the longings of our hearts to God. So the psalm begins with this picture that we often think of as like a peaceful image. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you, my God. And that picture, you know, a lot of times I think I have thought of that like Bambi, right? Like this picture of a deer in a picturesque meadow drinking some water, and it's this peaceful image. But actually, that's not the best image for this first part, because the word pants, that original word in Hebrew, suggests more of a desperation. It's not so much peace, it's more like the deer is desperate for water, like dying of thirst without anything to drink, unable to find water. So the psalmist is in this spiritual drought. It's actually not peaceful, it's rather urgent. He's saying in this passage, my tears have been my food day and night. And some of you probably know what that's like. I know I do. Those seasons, right, where you're in deep grief and it seems like you can't stop crying and you don't really want to eat. And it's like your tears are your food day and night. They just seem to keep coming. Well, the psalmist is hungry for God, but only has tears to eat. Longing for God, but there's so much grief. I had a friend who went on a silent retreat to a monastery once. And, you know, she said the first day it was like, welcome the peace and quiet, right? It was kind of a reprieve. It was nice. It was enjoyable. But by the third day of silence, she said it was like a desperation. Like she said, like my soul was like scraping bottom. It was like she was crying about things she didn't even know were still inside of her. She said, I didn't realize how thirsty I was for God. And sometimes we don't even notice, with all the distraction and the hustle and the bustle and the busyness and the, you know, need to control our external circumstances, sometimes we don't even realize like just how hungry, we don't even notice how dry our souls are until we like stop and get quiet, stop long enough to feel it. I think that's why sometimes we are scared of silence and solitude, because we get quiet and we realize like, ooh. And the truth is, God isn't scared of your thirst. In fact, God welcomes your honesty. That's the first movement of this psalm. The psalmist is teaching us, don't like fake it till you make it. Don't masquerade around as if everything is fine. Don't fake it, say it. Like bring that honest longing to God, speak it to God. So that's kind of the first movement. The second is really about remembering the riverbed upstream of God's faithfulness in the past. So the psalm continues, it says, my soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. And then it goes into some remembering. From the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. This is like rehearsing, remembering, thinking of God's faithfulness in the past. When God's presence feels far away, and the human experience is sometimes it does. Sometimes that is your reality. When God's presence feels far, the psalmist is remembering where he had experienced God in the past. He's like recalling, bringing to mind, worshiping with God's people in Jordan, singing songs on a mountain, being filled with joy, being among community. He's basically digging into memory, like following the dried riverbed upstream and remembering, oh, there was a flow of water here before. The water once flowed here. Some of you have read some of Corrie ten Boom's work. She was imprisoned in a concentration camp with her sister. And one of the things she would do sometimes at night is she would go and just whisper scripture at night to her sister. She would just recite hymns to her sister in the dark. And one time she wrote this. She said, memories of God's faithfulness are the pillow we rest our heads on when sleep won't come. Memories of God's faithfulness are the pillow we rest our heads on when sleep won't come. And sometimes the truth is, remembering is all we've got. Like they're in a concentration camp. It is dark. It is Sheol. It is the depths of hell. The circumstance hadn't changed, but they were remembering God's faithfulness in the past. Sometimes remembering is all we have, but memory can actually be a form of hope. In fact, we could just practice this briefly right now. Take a minute to just close your eyes. Take a couple deep breaths, and I want you to bring to your own memory, to your conscious mind right now, a time when you felt God's presence. Can you think of a time, can you remember, can you call to your memory right now a time when you felt safe and secure in God's presence, when you felt perhaps the joy of the Lord? Maybe you were on a mountaintop or on a family vacation or at a dinner party with friends. Can you think of a time when you felt calm, when you felt at peace, when you felt that, oh, I really am living in the strong and unshakable kingdom of God? When you knew maybe everything wasn't perfect in your life, but that you knew deep down, like, it is well with my soul. Can you think of a time? Okay, if you can, capture that image in your mind right now. Just like take a snapshot of it. Okay, you can open your eyes. So that can become, for you and I, those images, those memories of God's faithfulness in the past, it can become actually like a saved location. You know, like when you get on your phone and you go to GPS and you have a saved location, like your home is a saved location, and you're somewhere else in the country, and then you click home, and no matter where you are, it just takes you back home. It's a stored location. It's a saved location. Memory can be like that for you and I with God. You can have that saved location in your mind, and no matter what is happening in your world, you know, all of a sudden you're doom scrolling and the anxiety is rising, or you just got that email and it's about your kid and it's like, oh no. And all of a sudden you're just flooded with like your nervous system is just going crazy with nervousness and anxiety and worry and fear. A saved location in your memory is like, it's a way in which we just take a couple deep breaths, and in your mind's eye, you remember God's faithfulness in the past. You remember that place. One of my saved locations, I will practice this sometimes, one of my saved locations is actually floating in Mirror Lake with my family in Wisconsin. I have had this one for a couple of years now, where sometimes when things feel crazy in my life, and I feel like the fear, the worry, the concerns of the world are taking over, I'll take a couple deep breaths, and I'll just remember, we were all floating in those rafts, and the world in that moment fell right. And the sky was blue, and there were some white cumulus clouds. And I took a few deep breaths in that raft, and I just was like, this is a perfect summer day. God is here. God's kingdom's not in trouble. And that is really what the psalmist is doing here. Like, my tears are my food, and I'm being honest, and I'm remembering. God's been faithful in the past. I'm pulling up in my mind, oh yeah, we were in Jordan, we were singing songs. We were on that mountain, and I was surrounded by community. And the psalmist is really modeling for us and teaching us the power of memory. The power of remembering God's faithfulness in the past. Because when you can't feel God, you can remember when you did. When you don't see the light, you can remember the last time that you did. And no matter where you are, that saved location can bring you back. Back into the presence of God. God is always present. What's often lacking is my awareness of God's presence in every moment. So memory almost becomes like a prayer. God, you did it before. I believe you can do it again. So that's kind of the second movement. First, there's this honesty. Then there's this remembering. And then the third movement of this psalm is just the psalmist saying, you can preach to your own soul. And here's where the psalm sort of takes a turn, because there's no sudden miracle in the circumstances. It's not as though the circumstances change, but the psalmist talks back to his own despair. He says, why, my soul? He's talking to himself, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. It's like talking to yourself, Susie, put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him. And notice that, I will yet praise him. It's not like a fake smile. It's not that. I will yet praise him is not masquerading around pretending like everything is fine. It's not that. I will yet praise him is the psalmist modeling a defiant hope. Circumstances have not changed. I will yet praise him. There's a defiance to this. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, "Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself?" That's kind of interesting. Most of your unhappiness in life is because you're listening to yourself rather than talking to yourself. You're listening to your own worries, to your own fears. You're ruminating on all the things that what if it went wrong instead of talking to yourself. This was Corrie Ten Boom in the middle of a concentration camp, speaking, whispering in the dark, letting the pillow of God's promises and hymns be the place they rested their heads at night. Not just listening to yourself all the time, but actually talking to yourself, actually preaching to your own soul. This is what the psalmist does. He really actually starts preaching, but it's not to anybody else. He's preaching, but he's not preaching to the crowds. He's preaching to his own soul. And the truth is, you don't just listen to your heart. You don't just listen to your soul. You actually lead it. You preach what's true to yourself, even when your feelings haven't caught up yet. So the psalm ends with this sermon to self. Put your hope in God, self. Right? You're saying it to yourself. Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him. So Psalm 42 and 43, it doesn't end with like, everything's fixed now. But it does end with a song of determined hope, defiant hope. And it does give us this sort of pattern for living when we're just in like the downpour of struggle and grief and challenges. It gives us this pattern of speaking that longing honestly, remembering God's faithfulness in the past, and then preaching to your own soul, hope in God. I will yet praise him. So for you and I, if your soul is downcast today, it's okay. The Psalms have space for your sorrow and for mine. And they remind us to not let sorrow have the last word, but to let the last word be, I will yet praise him. Should we say it together? I will yet.